Yeah, welcome back to Bunce's Boxing Podcast from William Hill. We look at the biggest fights and we put some odds to them, try and pick a few winners. And on we go. Steve Bunce is with us, of course. Morning, sir. You well?
Fantastically.
Yeah, great. Anyone who listens to this regularly or maybe just dips in might think that, we always say, God, we've got a great month of boxing coming up. And we do. But that's because we like boxing. And this month is going to be special, Buncey. We're going to talk today about Ricky Burns' latest lightweight title defence. We're going to talk about an interesting heavyweight clash between Ian Lewis and Tom Dallas, and one in the States as well, Seth Mitchell taking on Chris Areola. But let's have a little chat about the fight that I'm almost bursting at the seams for. I just keep watching highlights of both these fighters. It's Floyd Mayweather versus Saul Alvarez, El Canelo. Great fight in prospect. We'll obviously preview it next week, Buncey. It's on Box Nation. The All Access program is brilliant. Anything with Mayweather in is brilliant, basically. That's available. You're putting it out on Box Nation, but it's also available on the boxnation.tv website. This is good. I've already got my bet sorted out, and I'll save it for next week. But I just can't wait, Buncey. I'm like a kid.
The thing is with this is we talk about a crossover fight. Well, Mayweather inhabits some other realm of crossover. He inhabits a realm where records are constantly and continually broken. He already holds the record for the highest guaranteed purse in history. Yes, more than Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, more than anybody, Oscar De La Hoya. And that's a guaranteed purse. He's guaranteed himself $32 million in his last two fights. Okay? And that, he made another $20 million. For this fight, he's guaranteed himself a whopping record-breaking, stonking, Vegas-worthy $41.5 million. He will probably put another 15 or 20 on that, making it the highest purse in boxing history. Alvarez is guaranteed about 10. He'll probably double that, going to 20, which puts him inside the top 30 purses in the history of boxing. He's unbeaten. He's bigger. He's stronger. Mayweather is unbeaten. He's wiser, but is he slower? That's why 25,000 cinema tickets in Las Vegas alone have sold out $100. That's why the gate here set a world record gate for boxing, 19.1 million, just narrowly beating the De La Hoya Mayweather fight from a few years ago. That's why around the in America, 550 cinemas will watch it, and that's why it's generated a record amount for overseas sales of 3.3 million. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but some of the, quote, territories that buy the fight, small countries around the world, pay as little as $10,000, okay? No one pays a fortune. Everyone pays, a few quid. So to get to 3.3 million basically means that the entire world will be watching this fight somewhere, in shacks, in cinemas, in nightclubs, in casinos, in cars, in bedrooms. This fight, the one, as they call it, will take over. I think we're sort of underestimating what's going to happen, and there will be a crescendo of coverage next week as the world literally converges on Las Vegas. There's suggestions that there'll be more media there than have ever turned out for any fight ever. Mm. It's massive. It's absolutely massive. And I'm actually presenting the show on Box Nation, and it's just starting to dawn on me I better actually scrub myself up a little bit that night.
and the great thing about it, from a, that's all part of it, all the business side of it. The great thing is it's a live fight. This is there's a lot of unknowns here, and this is a great test. All those people who've been banging on about Mayweather facing the best, well, he's facing everyone he needs to face, isn't he? Obviously, Pacquiao's the bigger mission, but in a way, I've kind of grown to want to see this fight more than I want to see Mayweather Pacquiao now, because that seems like old news.
Oh, listen, Pacquiao, once he got beat by Bradley, even though I thought he won, and once he got done by Marquez, this fight, that fight got slightly tarnished. That fight, Lee, we've been doing this for about 5 years now. We've been talking about Pacquiao and Mayweather for 5 years, saying it's going to happen in 3 months or 9 months. Forget it. It's nowhere near the same now. They'll never come to terms and agree now. Unless the only way it happens, if Floyd gets knocked out by Canelo Alvarez, then you can fight Pacquiao. Broken fighters for the right to fight Canelo. Now, we're talking here fantasy land, for God's sake. Hey, anything could happen. It's the boxing ring. But no, he's gone, Pacquiao. He's out of the equation. And Canelo has found himself in the inside. Did Canelo need another fight? Yes, he did. Did he need it against a big guy? Yes, he did. But you know what? He's got the fight now. He's got to take it now. Would he have been a better fighter? And he fought another good fighter? Yeah. I mean, could he have gone and fought Marquez or a different weight or Bradley and become a better fighter? Yes, he could have. Would beating either of them increase his marketability? Possibly. But he's taking it. He's getting the monster purse. And he's a very, as you say, live opponent. And, you know, let's not forget, the reason why this fight's happening, and I don't want to try not to be negative. This fight is happening because the pay-per-view figures for Mayweather's last fight were very disappointing against Robert Guerrero. Now, we know that, and we said in the podcast in the week before that fight, when you said to me, okay, Bunty, who's he going to fight next? And I said, it depends on the action, not in the ring, but the action outside the ring. It's really that simple. It's really, really that simple. And if he does the business, and if it had done the business outside the ring, this fight wouldn't be happening. Don't make no mistake. This fight would not be happening if the Guerrero against Mayweather fight had been a great success. Fortunately, it bombed a little bit, and we've ended up with this beauty.
This weekend, we've got some decent action as well as build up to that. Ricky Burns, first of all. Mm-hmm. He's fighting Raimundo Beltran. Love the fact that he's actually called Raimundo. That's brilliant.
I do. Raimundo, yeah, it's beautiful.
28 wins, 17 by stoppage. He's lost six times. He's been stopped twice himself, Raimundo. He's 7-2 to beat Ricky Burns and take his WBO lightweight title off him. This is at the SEC in Glasgow, so great atmosphere guaranteed. 36 wins, 11 by stoppage for Ricky Burns. He's been beaten twice himself. Fourth defence, the last time he was out, Bunty, against Jose Gonzalez, it was a nervy one, wasn't it? I mean, a lot of people, me included, sat there thinking, not only am I going to lose my money, but we're going to lose a world champion here. But he turned it round and ended up being stopped with whatever reason. I think the official reason was a wrist
broken
injury.
Heart. It was officially a broken heart. He broke the guy's gut. Nothing wrong with that.
No, he
got on top of Gonzalez eventually, but I think he'd left it in the gym. He'd overtrained. I mean, the way it is with the moment, Billy Nelson, who trains Ricky Burns, and Ricky Burns and their promotional people, they're a little bit touchy. So if you say to Ricky Burns in Glasgow and Edinburgh in Scotland, they say, no, it's not. No. Well, yeah, of course it is, but it's not really. So they'll disagree with anything you say. You've got to be really careful when talking even positively about our Scottish WBO lightweight champion. He left it in the gym on that particular night. He had nothing left. He didn't look fresh. He looked stale. He looked slow. It looked like he was carrying a lot of the burdens of the world on his shoulders. Okay? But he pulled it through. That's what champions do.
Yeah.
It was a cracking performance. Okay? And it was made to look hard because he performed poorly. Yes, he performed badly. It happens. This time round, it's interesting. I think that 7-2 is a good bet. I think Beltran is a clever fighter, and I think that's a good bet. I do. I think that's a really good bet because if you actually analyse the guys that Ricky Burns has beaten, okay, who he hasn't beaten is he hasn't beaten a good pro. He's beaten Kevin Mitchell, fantastic fighter, but came at him, okay. He's beaten that Gonzalez kid who came out a million miles an hour, was leading, and then faded. Okay, he beat Martinez all those years ago to win the super featherweight titles. Martinez, good fighter, but a kid who was so confident, got Ricky Burns, thought it was going to be an easy night. He was unbeaten himself. And then he beat Katsidis, who didn't fight. Cagey just went at him. Mm. Now, Beltran is going to make Ricky think. He's not going to walk out head on. You know, he's a guy that sparred a zillion and two rounds with Manny Pacquiao. He's tough, he's hard, but more than that, he's a good pro. He's a good Mexican-American pro. And if you look at it, there isn't one of these in Ricky Burns' 7 or 8 world title fights, consecutive world title fights. There isn't one. It's the first time he's going in against a cagey, well-schooled, and still live American opponent, American-Mexican opponent. And I'd say that 7-2 is not a bad bet. Let's put it this way. If Beltran's in front after 7 rounds, he's not quitting on his stool.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I'm telling you, Ricky in this fight will have to think. All he's had to do in previous fights is just stick to a game plan. Don't keep your hands high against Katsidis, counter after he fires, bang. Against Kevin Mitchell, watch out for his left hook, counter, you break his heart. Against Gonzalez, just grit your teeth, you'll get through. Against Paulus Moses, just keep the pressure on him, you'll get through. When's he had to go thinking and looking? He hasn't, and that's what makes this interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if you read anything into this sort of stuff, Buncey, the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff. I was reading an article in one of the Scottish papers, I think in the Daily Record it was. And right at the bottom of the article, he's talked about the fight, he's talked about everything, and he starts talking about how difficult the last few weeks have been. His wife's... they've had a baby. And he goes into a little bit of detail about how she was overdue and it was quite stressful. That worries me a little bit. Should you be worried about things like that behind the scenes?
It worries me a lot.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
No, well, it worries me a lot. You know,
anyone who's had kids knows that it's there's no way as a boxer. I don't think if I was a boxer, there's no way you'd be able to shut yourself out of that situation.
I'm always nervous when any fighter, partner, or wife has a child anywhere near a fight or in the build-up to a fight, because unless you shut yourself away and go into training camp and leave behind a three-week-old baby and come back when the baby's 11 weeks old, okay, which fighters do, by the way. Mm-hmm. Unless you do that, you cannot be in that house with a young baby and not be involved. Yeah. No matter how big the house is, you get involved. Yeah. Your wife or partner might say, and I've had loads of these kids, remember? Your wife or partner might say after the first night, oh, don't worry, now you stand, but you've got a big fight coming up. After 7 days, when she's up three times in the middle of the night, it doesn't matter how big your bleeding fight is, you're getting up next. Trust me. That's just the reality of a woman being exhausted and a father... Or, new father, husband, partner, having a heart. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You either get yourself out of the house, or you're going to live with the consequences, which could be a disaster in the ring.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
That's just a fact. That's not me hyping it.
Yeah,
if Ricky Burns is in his house, we know he doesn't live in a 15-bedroom mansion, so he's in the far wing, so he can't hear the baby. If he's involved, if he's around, it's going to affect his training. And if he says it isn't, then he's going against nature.
It's interesting. On Twitter, Steve Lillis, your colleague at Box Nation, didn't get under Lennox Lewis's skin, but Lennox Lewis explained a few things, didn't he, about that? And he said on Twitter the reason he didn't settle down before because he had to concentrate on his boxing, and he said that's a harsh reality of life, but he couldn't do it any other way. Which was it is interesting, isn't it? You know, having to put family on hold to be the very best. So you think Raimundo Beltran is a better 7-2?
I think 7-2 is a bet, yeah. Listen, my gut feeling is Ricky will win, Ricky on point is it, but 7-2, that's a good bet.
Yeah, the other price
that's
is...
That's a good bet. He's a good operator.
The prices for a stoppage for Ricky Burns 5-2, Ricky Burns by decision 4-6. That's the favourite by quite a long way. Beltran by stoppage is 13-2, and Beltran by decision, which, you know, if it's close and it's in Glasgow, it's going to be pretty tricky to get that 7-1. The draw 25-1. You can bet on how many rounds there'll be, under and over 10.5 rounds, but it's a very short price for over 10.5. Then you've got all the grouped round bettings as well. Fight to go the distance is 4-9, which does look a decent bet, that one, to be fair.
Yeah, that's a good bet. Listen, if Lee, let me tell you that. If Ricky's carrying the same kind of problems he carried last time into the ring, i.e. overtraining, over-sparring, and of course they denied it happened, well, that's fine. See, there's one problem with trainers. Billy's a nice guy, Billy Nelson, who's trained. There's one problem with trainers, okay, at the moment, okay? They all think they're experts. There's not a single trainer at the moment who will admit to learning, apart from someone like Jimmy Tibbs, who's only been in the business 45 years. He's still learning. All the others know everything. They know absolutely everything. And I'm telling you, he overtrained for that fight. Going into this fight, has he pulled it back in the gym? I'm hearing not. So that consequently he gets in the gym, he's overtrained, because there's another thing that you think you just train harder. It doesn't work that way. You train differently for different fighters. You don't just train harder. Otherwise, if you worked on that theory, instead of doing 3 miles road work, by the time you're a world champion, you'd be doing 35 miles road work, wouldn't you? It doesn't work that way. And instead of sparring 6 rounds, you'd be sparring 60 rounds. It doesn't work that way. Just do the maths. There's some dummies in our business. Just look at the facts and figures. So if he's got... if he's got the baby situation hanging over his head, and if Ricky has overtrained like he has, and also there's also a chance here, there's one interesting thing, perhaps he's overlooking this guy a little bit. The other guy that coming in was a bit dangerous, Gonzalez.
Yeah.
We knew Kevin Mitchell could hit you on the chin. Even Paulus Moses had some good form. Michael Katsidis yet to be right on the ball for that.
Mm.
Is there a chance with Beltran that maybe think, well, you know, a bit of sparring partner mentality, he's been stopped by MF Diaz, who's nothing special, they'll think. I'm telling you, this, I see a banana skin here. I want to see Ricky smash him a bits in five rounds. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Ricky's going to win on points, but that's 7-2 on Beltran. That's a nice bet, brother.
Yeah. Let's look at a couple of other ones quickly. Ian Lewison versus Tom Dallas. This is for the Southern Area heavyweight title. This is our 3-10, 130 on for Ian Lewison, whose record shows 7 wins, 4 by stoppage, 2 defeats and a draw. Tom Dallas, who's had a bit of a downturn in his career, 17 wins, 12 by stoppage, has been stopped 3 times himself. He was undefeated, Bunty, wasn't he? Before he took that David Price fight at very short notice. Then he lost to Skelton, then he was stopped in the first round of his Price fighter semi-final. He's 13-5 to win this. I mean, is Ian Lewison that much better than Tom Dallas to be 100-30 on?
Well, I don't think so because he's lost as well. Ian Lewis, he had a sort of minor break, not a big break, just a little sort of break. So I think that's a little bit harsh. I tell you what, I can see here. I can see two guys, both of whom haven't got a lot. They neither of them got any much respect for the other guy. I can see this being a bit of a shootout. And I tell you what, you know, I think this is a much closer fight. And if it ends in 3 rounds, then someone will say, well, how could it be close, Bunty? It doesn't work that way. You know, a hard fight can last 30 seconds. You know, that's just the way boxing works. Just so few people understand the way it works is irrelevant. This could be a hard fight, and I think it's a close fight. And I tell you what, I think the person that could win this is the guy that guts it out. Don't be at all surprised if Dallas stops Lewison on his feet. Don't be at all surprised if Lewison walks through Dallas quickly. If I was putting money on here, you know what? I'd just fancy a cheeky tipple on Dallas to stop Lewison. What's the odds on that?
The stoppage price, I will tell you in a moment if I've got it. I don't think we've got it at the minute, actually.
Okay. That's just work. I mean, I think the sensible thing is that Lewison needs to establish himself. You know, he believes he should be content, you know, competing for... he believes, I'll lay him out, Lewison, believes he should be competing, you know, on the edge of that British title thing. He lost on points, I think, to Derek Rossi in the international prize fight. KO'd an almost Timo Hoffman, was obviously celebrating too much and got beaten. If he doesn't take him out in 2 or 3 rounds, you know, he can train. He's trained for 15 rounds, he says, which he needs to maybe tell his trainer that 15 rounds fights haven't existed for about 100 years. But that's neither here nor there. That's the way to do it. Again, everyone's an expert. this will come down. This is a gutting fight. And I tell you what, it depends what man, whoever's standing in the third round with the biggest heart, the biggest gut's going to win this fight.
Yeah, so 13-5 might not be a bad price. You might get, there's no prices on how it ends, but they'll probably be available closer to the fight time. So check back. If you want to have a bet on a stoppage, then check back on Saturday.
Yeah.
Over in the States, this is a fight that's on Box Nation. By the way, I mean, I'll do Bunce's job for him here, so he doesn't have to do it. But if you, I was just looking, Bunce, if you sign up for the, you know, for the Mayweather fight, tenner, you get, I was just looking, you get, and you sign up this weekend, you get Seth Mitchell, Chris Ariola, which we're going to have a quick look at, Marco Huck versus Firat Aslan, Danny Garcia versus Lucas Matisse, which will be a war, and you get the Mayweather fight, Billy Joe Saunders versus John Ryder, great fight, Chisora's next outing, Frankie Gavin, Liam Walsh, and I'm sure there'll be, and that's just the headliners, so you've got all the undercards, and a few more. That's, I mean, tenner for a month. I know you don't need me to kind of persuade you, but tenner for a month, I mean, you can't argue with that, can you?
Yeah, well, people argue because there's no make. I don't wear makeup or something like that. You know, people do argue. As David Hay said,
well, maybe you could maybe put some makeup on, Bunty, just for them.
As David Hay said in his final press conference in Germany, he said, "You know what?" He was kind of getting bored of the silly question. He said, and he looked at the British press. He said, "You know what?" He said, "If I knock Vlad out," he said, "someone's going to say I wore the wrong laces in my boots." I know I can't win, which of course he couldn't. That's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Quick mention then. Seth Mitchell's 4-1 to beat Chris Ariola, who's 6-1 on. Ariola, 35 wins, 30 by stoppage. He's lost 3 times himself, but been in with some very good fighters. Seth Mitchell's record, 26 wins, 19 by stoppage. He's lost once when he was stopped, and he's drawn once as well. The loss on Seth Mitchell's record is against Jonathan Banks, which he avenged in June of this year. Chris Ariola, his losses, Vitali Klitschko when he retired in the 10th.
3.5 stone in 5 weeks.
Yeah, which was a bit much. Thomas Adamek, again, no shame there. Lost a majority decision. And he's just lost to Bermain Stiverne on a unanimous decision. And he was well beaten in that one. He was down in the third round. So this is kind of his comeback fight from that defeat, Buncey. Is he deserving of being a 6-1 on favourite?
What, Mitchell?
Areola. Mitchell's 4-1 outsider. Big price.
Okay, no, I would have thought it'd be a little bit closer than that. But the one thing that has happened with Areola, I'm surprised by those odds. I thought they might be double. They might have been flip-flop, those odds. I'm quite surprised. Areola's got his act together. He finally got out of Los Angeles. Where he's a bit of a character. He's a known face. There's been in a few scrapes over the years, and lots of his friends have been in scrapes. Some of them have even ended up in coffins. He's now gone out to Arizona, to Phoenix, I believe, where everything's changed. His lifestyle's changed, his body shape has changed, and I still don't necessarily think it's a walkover. He was given a get-out-of-jail card last time, Seth Mitchell. You know, smashed to bits by Jonathan Banks in about the third round of the rematch. It looked hands-on. I mean, I was doing the fight, I think, with Barry Jones on Box Nation. I said, OK, Barry, get the cabs ready. We were out here in about 3 minutes. And then Banks came out, and for the last 10 rounds or 9 rounds, didn't throw a punch. He did not throw a punch. I mean, it was a spoof. He just went into his shell. Even Mitchell didn't know what was going on. So he got a get-out-of-jail card. So he's going to fancy this big time. I wrote about this the other day, suggesting this was like a semi-final to work out who could fight Deontay Wilder for the unofficial, mythical American Heavyweight Championship. And then the winner of that maybe fights Stiverne. And then the winner of that, in theory, should get a crack at one of the Eastern Europeans or Europeans that hold the title. My feeling was that Mitchell would be a slight favourite.
All right.
He got the kick up the backside that he needed. But I was actually going to say, I fancy Areola because he's gone and changed his life. So I fancied Areola on points.
That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's a big price then, isn't it? If you think...
It's a big old price.
4-1 for Mitchell would be a big price. If you fancy... Areola to stop Mitchell is... I mean, it's still really short. You're looking at around kind of 4-11, like 3-1-ish, which is very short, isn't it? Mitchell to stop Areola is around the 5-1 mark. Areola by decision about 4-1. Mitchell by decision 10-1, and
4-1 Areola decision. That's not bad. I fancy that.
A few outsiders there then, Buncey. The 7-2, the 13-5, and the 14-1. You don't need to put them into a double or treble if you back all three of them and one of them cops, you'll make a little bit of money.
Lee, it's one of those things, mate. You know, people only ever remember the ones you lose.
Yeah, of course. You know, that's the world we live in, isn't it?
Yeah, we've had a good run the last 5 or 6 shows.
Not bad at all.
We've netted 2 or 3 out of 3 or 4, 4 or 5. You know, we've been batting about 75% recently,
which is good.
Listen, that's good. Hey, listen, the gamblers would sell their grannies, which they mostly do. To be hitting that sort of average.
You're not kidding. Buncey, I'm looking forward to next week already. We'll have a great weekend this weekend, and we'll speak before Mayweather Alvarez.
Lee, thanks very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.